Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, hello somebody, Marlon Favorite from the LSU Radio Network, does pre- and post-game coverage for the Tigers. Big Fave, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Hello somebody. What's happening, Mike?
I'm doing good. Doing good, Fave. Before we start talking LSU, you grew up in this area. And, you know, it's going to be 20 years Friday, Katrina passed through. I was telling Charlie, I'm pretty sure you were a redshirt freshman at LSU at that time. Sort of memories, because, you know, kind of growing up, you know, I was way, way too young to kind of comprehend when Hurricane Betsy passed through this area and, you know, living on the bayou. You saw it, and then we got Ida a couple years back, which really sort of trumped that a little bit too. Memories of Katrina, because I know you had family members in the area, and kind of what was the mindset at that time to see this unbelievable storm packing that Gulf, and it wasn't supposed to come here, and then all of a sudden, you dead center on where it's hitting.
Oh, what I remember about that storm, I mean, we had Florida teammates. So guys like Terrell McGill and Dwayne Bowen and freshman Ricky Jean Francois, you know, we were worried about their families. Well, the way it works in Miami, the land's so flat, it just rolled through. But to your point, when it got back in the water and we saw it was headed our way, and just to kind of think about how that event, like, changed everything nationally. Like, it was a national disaster. Even though we got hit and hurt locally, it was nationally. And for us, that was Coach Miles' first year there, and he don't know anything about hurricanes. So, you know, here's a guy, you know, new at a school trying to get his players acclimated to his way of coaching. And I could just remember, one thing that we remember about Coach Miles is his practices used to be long. And at that time, he didn't reduce the practice time. Now, after practice, we would go and volunteer at the PMAC because, of course, a lot of the victims were being sent to Baton Rouge. And I can just remember, and I hope she don't mind me mentioning her name, the indirect, like, snapping Shelly, our trainer had did to Coach Miles. Coach Miles was like, is there anybody else that needs to say anything? Trying to figure this whole deal out. Shelly just said, I think it's stupid that we're at practice this long and we have all this devastation going on. And, like, everybody felt her soul. And, you know, that was Coach Miles' way of, like, man, this is serious. I didn't realize this was like that. And that's one of the things I remembered about it. And just the UNO students, Tulane students, SUNO students that were incoming freshmen and already students at that school who had to come to Baton Rouge and go to Southern and go to LSU. So just so many memories. Not enough time for the phone conversation.
Fave, I think one kind of word gets thrown into the vocabulary that had never really been talked about here before, even though we in an area where, you know, hurricanes are likely. FEMA. Did you hear anybody in your family talk about FEMA before Katrina hit? Then all of a sudden, that became a big part of it. As, come on, where are they at to help people here? I live in the Bayou area, so we were 60 miles from New Orleans to the west. And, okay, we did have some wind, but we didn't have any levee break or anything like that. And I saw the same thing you saw at LSU, I saw at Nichols, people being brought in here. And it was just the look in their eyes of, I can't believe what happened, because the storm had passed. We thought, you know, we had sort of survived everything, and then the levees break.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it was heartbreaking the way, and I've been watching the Katrina special on Hulu, and Ryan Coogler did an amazing job at, like, really capturing the stories and getting real footage of what was going on. And I just think about just how delayed people were that was working with FEMA. Like, we were really treated like half of a human. Like, we were treated in a way, like, people were treating their animals better than they were treating the people of New Orleans. The the folks who couldn't get out last minute. I mean, I was thankful to be in Baton Rouge, and my family was able to come on over to stay with us. My brother was working with Energy at the time, and my Uncle Preston, so they were in and out of the city during the storm, and my brother was telling me all these different stories. At the time, my sister had to move to Dallas 3-4 years prior, so my mom and my dad was still working with Union Pacific Railroad, and they came out there by us, and I can remember teammates like Charles Alexander, his mom and dad from Brobridge, Louisiana, brought all kind of boudin and cooked sausage and all kind of seasoned chicken, seasoned. I never, you know, tasted Cajun like that ever. But it was just not a great time, so to say, but it was great to see people come together. But yeah, to your point, it wasn't handled right, and that was the first time we ever heard of. That was the first time FEMA had to deal with something like that. So, it's just tragic.
Yeah, and man, we didn't have the levees break here on the bayou. I mean, they held up for Ida, which was a major storm also. But some of the people that were involved to try to get some help from FEMA, I mean, they still waiting, Fave. Still waiting. I mean, it's unbelievable how, I guess, I don't know what's the best word to use about it, just how messed up the whole damn thing is to try to help people. And you're in a position to do it, and it's a tap to break every spot you get.
No doubt. It just showed how irresponsible and just how unprepared we were at the time. And
yeah,
it's sad to recap. It does bring back some harsh memories. And, you know, it was just a new time at LSU. Coach Saban had just left. We were there on campus adjusting to this. It was games that were postponed. I remember Arizona State was supposed to come here. We ended up having to go there. And you saw right away how strong we are here in South Louisiana. So it's sad to think of all the people we lost. Even the crime. I lost a relative in Houston due to crime. You know, New Orleans folks were going all over the place, and different cities felt a certain way. And it was just, you know, just the hearts of the folks here in New Orleans to feel so displaced at the time. And I just thank God that, you know, we were able to bounce back. But that pre-Katrina New Orleans, boy, it'd never be the same.
Fave, thanks so much for recalling everything that happened at LSU. I think you got a change in life. If you don't do that in any profession, you're going to die off quickly. And a couple years back, when I heard Brian Kelly talk about, we're not going to use the transfer portal, we're just going to be select about getting a player here, player there, I told Charlie, he ain't living in the real world. That's not what's going to happen. He better get himself knee deep in the transfer portal, because everybody else, or most everybody else, will be. Fave, I think I look at this LSU team today, they're going to probably have 8 to 9 starters that came out of the transfer portal in one off season. Goes to show the importance of the transfer portal.
Yeah, as you said, evolution, man. Things evolve over time, and the NCAA is now mini NFL. The bottom line.
That's true.
The way this transfer portal works, it's very similar, and it's much more pressure on the players than the coaches, but it is a lot of pressure on the coaches, because for the players, coaches, we're used to coaches bouncing around. That's not how it works for players all the time. And what I mean by that is, you know, these guys are deciding and wanting to go pro. And when they go sit down in the interview with the NFL coaches, they're like, all right, why did you leave here? Oh, because such and such this, you know, the business move. Why did you leave there? So now it looks like that player isn't trying to fight it out and compete. Well, on the flip side, with the coaches, it's hard for them to really take a vested interest into a player, because he might leave once the portal opens. So that challenge has changed, and I'm glad Coach Kelly was able to evolve and start looking at this thing with an open. My co-host on Inside the Trenches, CL Nola, had mentioned Coach Kelly has softened his heart in that area to bring in players to help us get over that. Like, had he not had that mindset – right? His first 2 years, we had Jaden Daniels. What if we would have had Jaden Daniels some more weapons or, you know, get some more offensive linemen through the portal? We may have been in the college football playoffs, to say the least, but I'm glad he's catching on to it now, and I love his slogan of 1-0, something for us to really look at and something to build off here this season.
Fave, I think one of the things defensively is and I've not understood it for the last couple of years. You're trying to reinvent the wheel with Harold Perkins. I'll be honest with you. You know what he can do as a player. You know his strength is get up the field and attack anything that's got the football in the backfield. You try to make him into a pro linebacker and all this stuff. Man, let the pros do that. You understand what he can do. He is a guy that puts it in drive, and he's up the field. And, yeah, you'll see him drop back in coverage sometimes. But, man, his strength is his ability to affect what's happening in the backfield, if it's a tackle for a loss or get after the quarterback. I'm interested to see how Blake Baker is going to use him this year. I do know one thing about Cade Klubnik. I've watched enough film on him. He ain't no stiff in the pocket. You know, if he sees a spot, he's going to take off running. My thing is, Harold, when you see that guy get the ball and he's hesitant about throwing it, you go attack him and put him on the ground. And I think I want to see more of that from Blake Baker's defense this year in using Harold Perkins in a get up the field and make a play. Because I think that they need that to upgrade their pass rush and also to cause havoc in the backfield.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. This is one of those situations I've talked to several scouts about, Harold Perkins. Me and Brandon Taylor off air talked about this a lot. His freshman year, freshman year, Harold Perkins could come off the board day one, period. And you're right. Those years in between coming in this year, they're trying to figure out how to use him. Or let's say this, how to keep him happy. Because remember, we're in the NIL transfer portal era. So a lot of that decision-making with Harold Perkins came from to keep him happy. But now he have a guy in Coach Baker that now he's listed as star, and we have the confidence in the middle with the Wheat brothers. You can move him around. He needs to be on in Arkansas game freshman year. He single-handedly, I hadn't seen an impact like that in one game out of one player since Tyrann Mathieu 2011. Season. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Best for Harold Perkins, best for the LSU Tigers defensively. Let him move around. The star is the best way to label it. If he's blitzing, he's blitzing. If he's just spying the quarterback, he's spying the quarterback. That's how you have to use Harold Perkins.
Big Fave, I wanted to ask you because it felt like all the buzz from fall camp in the past basically month or so has just been about that defensive line and how improved they are from last year. You, like, as we had mentioned earlier about the transfer players that you went out and added, but you more have supplemented that front room because you had some returning pieces, especially on like the interior. I know Coach Kelly's talked up Gabe Rutherford, but you had the transfers on the edge room like Jamari Butler and then Jack Pyburn and Patrick Payton. And then the interior, another transfer in Bernard Gooden, but you also have Dominic McKinley, Ahmad Bro. It just feels like that's a really good defensive front. I know that you're going to be going up against a good Clemson offensive line as well, but if LSU's to go up and pull off this upset at Clemson, that defensive front needs to set the tone.
Oh, no doubt. That is first, second, and third point. The defensive line has to set the tone in this game. And what I do like about this group, I spoke with Kyle Williams. We may have talked 30, 40 minutes after the spring game, and that's something he wanted these guys to build off what Coach Bo Davis was able to implement last season. Put his twist on it, but I know y'all can relate to this one. Coach P. Jenkins, that's all that cloth, right? Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
So you got a Bo Davis. When I get there, that's Pete Boy. Carl Dunbar, that's Pete Boy. You know, Kyle Williams, Pete Boy. All these are guys cut from that cloth that, you know, we adapted and adjusted up front, and you win in your gap. If you win in your gap, it's no stopping us. So I feel confident about year two of them young boys, Bro, and McKinley. I think they're going to make some strides this year. You'll have a healthy Tank Guillory. I think that makes a big difference. His experience in SEC play is going to be huge. Big 99, look, I see they're bringing 18 back. Hello, somebody. 7 is a number. But, you know, Big 99, that's a big dog number two now. And I like Bernard Gooden, who, in my opinion, could be very stout and versatile in terms of pass rush, interior rush for the Tigers. So that y'all already know. I named my show Inside the Trenches for this reason, baby. I'm going to be watching that front, that D-line. And I'm telling y'all, it is almost – it's a magnet. At that D-line is getting after the quarterback, getting sacks, pressures on the quarterback, quarterback hits, tackles for loss. That energy translates over to the offense, and shoot, and that's 4-3. 4-3 is the average speed in the wide receiver core. We don't have to talk about that.
Man, they got some talent there. The other part, too, Fave, and I'll let you go after this, is to go out in the transfer portal and to get the two safeties, and to Marcus Cooley, A.J. Ooh, yeah. Halsey. You know, I scouted Halsey and Cooley because I thought, with Halsey, I thought he might come out early. I was sort of tipped that he might. He decided to play another year after starting at New Mexico and then going to Houston, and then he decides to come to LSU. They have not had this type safety play in a long time, to have two guys of that ilk. And I think that's really going to help them out defensively, to have Cooley and Halsey that have been starters and good starters to very good starters at the collegiate level.
I couldn't tell y'all guys how much that matters, especially having veterans in that position. You know, when that game gets serious, it's the fourth quarter. When we miss a sack up front, we're going to have some guys to be able to not only cover over the top, but play smart, use your eyes, communicate. Those things really matter at that position. And you look at a guy like Cooley, just his size alone, and he's young, right? Was third year in college. I think he might have redshirted, but he's traveled. Again, NC State, Maryland, he's played meaningful reps in college ball. And that really matters. So, and Coach Raymond, let me tell y'all something. I trained out there at Elite Training Academy in Baton Rouge. I got D linemen we work out there. Coach Raymond was out there a couple of mornings. You know, I get out there early. I have them boys 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. He had his secondary in there, putting that work in. Skills, coverage, teaching points, angles. I said, man, that looked like Coach Raymond with Coach Chevis Jackson. Jonathan Z9, them boys. And that's what I like to see. So I'm excited about LSU's defense. I don't want to get too excited, hello somebody, but I think we're going to for sure shock a lot of folks.
Fave, thanks so much for joining us, man. Look forward to hearing you this coming Saturday as LSU plays Clemson. And your guy and I, me and Herb, we got to start it off, you know, at 2 o'clock. And I think Herb got all kind of stories about you and him at the Chicken Festival.
Yeah, Herb, shout out to Herb and his family, man. They came out and they enjoyed my whole set, man. We talked this Saturday. But, yeah, I appreciate it, man. That's my dog.
All right. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Marlon Favorite, always a character, great stories, and certainly things talked about in that Katrina time and talking about the LSU Tigers. Big hopes for the Tigers this year to see if they can pull off the upset against Clemson. This coming Saturday, you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30.